and worship this morning. Greatly appreciate it. Well, this morning we are back in our study in the book of, anybody remember what book we were studying? Good. If no one answered, we'd really know that we need to do a better job of putting out there what we do. But we are back after a hiatus in the book of Luke. And actually, last time we were in the book of Luke, I was actually preaching from it, so I'm picking right back up where I left off last time. And then Pastor Thomas will continue next week. But we come now, we're continuing in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And just so you know, on the table in the back, if you want one, we do have some outlines. And the outline actually has the full text of this morning's message. But some of you, those of you who have your Bibles, it's in there too. But I'm going to go ahead and read Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. And for those of you listening online, hopefully you can access this text as well. And we read, these are the words of Jesus. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Thanks be to God for his word, and Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Take care then how you hear. The title of the message this morning, and it's one of those times where I got the title of the message straight from Jesus himself. So that's what Jesus tells us in verse 18. Take care then how you hear. And like I said a moment ago, we return this morning to our journey through the book of Luke. It's been a while since we've been there. We ended last time in chapter 8, verse 15. And you might remember, maybe you don't remember, us pastors like to think you remember, but if you remember, the last thing we talked about in the book of Luke was the parable of the sower. Many have suggested that a better title would be the parable of the soils. Even better, I like calling it the parable of the seed. So you'll see me kind of going back and forth between parable of the seed, parable of the sower, as I refer to it this morning. But we move on now to verses 16 through 21, and at first glance, these verses can appear to be somewhat disconnected statements from Jesus. But in reality, from what I'm seeing in my study, they are very much connected to what Jesus has talked about in the parable of the sower or the parable of the seed. Because in that parable, we see one sower, one farmer, sowing one kind of seed into different kinds of soils. And the different soils take and receive that one seed from that one sower in different sorts of ways. And of course, the good soil represents those who hear the word of God, those who hold fast to the word of God, those who do the word of God, and they produce fruit in kind, and they produce, as the parable says, quite the bumper crop. But in what we see in our verses this morning, verses 16 through 21, are more characteristics, from what I'm seeing, more characteristics of those who are, quote-unquote, good soil. Those who hear the word of God, but they don't just hear the word of God, they take care how they hear, and they do the word of God. Hence Jesus' statement in verse 18, take care then how you hear. If you don't get that title drilled into your heart and mind this morning, I've done a really bad job. But indeed, the way you hear, the kind of listener you are, reflects your spiritual condition. You read throughout the Old Testament. I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, and we see the nation of Israel at so many times in their history failing to hear and listen to the word of God. And Psalm 95 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see the people of Israel doing that. Remember back when we walked through the book of Judges, seems like such a long time ago, and we would see that the people would constantly be doing what was right in their own eyes. And God, what would God do? I'm going to let you fall into captivity. But God, even in that state, was still merciful to them, and he'd raise up a deliverer, raise up a judge, the people would be delivered, and what would happen later on? Fall right back into it. God would raise up a judge, deliver them, they'd fall right back into it. And remember, Judges was just that cycle over and over and over again. For they did not take care how they heard. And Jesus, in this passage this morning, challenges those of us who identify as his followers, as his disciples, and he's talking to those in that crowd who have already heard this parable of the seed that we studied last time, to take care how they listen. Jesus is saying this probably to that same crowd who has just heard that parable of the sower of the seed. And so I'm going to split my message this morning into four parts, and you'll see it on your outline. And it's this: those who take care how they hear, listen, one, outwardly, they listen inwardly, they listen blessedly, and yes, that is a word, I checked on it, and they listen obediently. Outwardly, inwardly, blessedly, obediently. So let's come to our first point, point number one. Those who take care how they hear, listen outwardly, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. What does a lamp do? Not a trick question. A lamp gives off light. And back in the time of Jesus, people would use these little bowl-like lamps. They were like terracotta-type bowl-like lamps. They'd have a spout, you know, that would hold a wick, and they could hold a little oil for fuel, so you'd constantly have to add oil to these little lamps. Now, it'd be ridiculous, of course, and I think the whole crowd would be like, yeah, that's an obvious statement. It'd be ridiculous for someone to take that lamp when it's dark outside and put it under their bed. It'd be dumb if I brought these candles in, these artificial, but we'll call them candles. And if I just say, threw them under this table here, I know it's a little bit light in here, so you can't see them as well. You'd be like, why are you doing that, Matt? I thought they were supposed to give off light. So Jesus is kind of stating the obvious. But that to say, if you are a genuine disciple of Jesus, if you hear the word of God and do the word of God, you're not going to keep it to yourself. You're going to share it with others. You're going to display it to others. The Apostle Peter writes this in the book bearing his name, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim, there's that outward thing there, the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. All throughout the Bible, darkness is often used as a metaphor for falsehood, and light for truth. Darkness can be used for evil. Light can be used for good. That's used all throughout Scripture. And of course, many of us know Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, therefore, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and give glory, give praise to your Father who is in heaven. So if you are someone who is a genuine follower of Christ, you hear the word of God, you take care how you hear, and you do it, your desire will not just be to take it in, soak it in, and have a bunch of knowledge that only puffs up, but you will share it and display it to others. You will give that light out that you have to other people. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that, you know, when we tell others about Christ, I mean, we don't have to come up with all these, you know, reasons and whatnot. I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But he just says, hey, be prepared to make a defense for what? The hope that's in you. And what a great time in the turmoil of our country right now to remind people of the hope, the steadfast hope we have in Christ. that no matter what happens in this country, in this world, we know we are part of a kingdom that will last forever, that we have a God who remains the same forever and ever. Those who seek to give out this truth to others has this mindset: I have this hope in Christ. I want to tell others about it. I want to tell others about what Christ has done for me. I've been saved from falling under God's judgment. And I know others around me, if they do not know Christ, will fall under God's judgment, are under God's judgment. I want them saved from this. I want to let them know it's the most loving thing I can do. Which brings us now to our second point. Those who take care how they hear, listen inwardly. We talked about outwardly, and now we come to inwardly. Verse 17. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Another word for manifest could be here be evident. Nothing is hidden that will not be made evident. Nothing is hidden. Many have wrestled with exactly what Jesus is saying here. In my study of this, I was wrestling and reading with different commentators who have different ideas of what exactly Jesus is saying here. But I think a good possibility of finding out what Jesus really means here is found within Luke itself, but a little bit later on in chapter 12. And I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 12. We'll be coming to that that passage in a few weeks, but just to, I guess, wet your whistle, so to speak. And we see this taking place. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together, we have yet another instance of crowds coming together, that they were trampling one another, he, Jesus, began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. What you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. So what is the characteristics of the Pharisees here that Jesus warns about? They're leaven. And a leaven, of course, is needed to make bread, and it soaks throughout the bread. What is that? Hypocrisy. Listen, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be hypocrites like the Pharisees. What is the opposite of being a hypocrite? Being genuine, authentic, real, a genuine listener. And so in our passage this morning, verse 17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And then again, Luke chapter 12, verse 3, therefore whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetop. Does anyone see a connection here? I do. So could it be that Jesus is clearly referring to exposing hypocrisy? The person who listens inauthentically, listens with hypocrisy, a listener who is not genuine. And so to my point, those who take care how they listen, listen inwardly. Jesus here is calling for everyone who claims to be his disciple, who claims to be hearing Jesus, to examine themselves inwardly. Examine their hearts. Am I following Jesus for something I can get out of him? Remember, a lot of people in this crowd are thinking Jesus is here to bring on the political revolution, kick out Rome, make the nation great like it once was. Am I following Jesus with a heart that seeks to just obey him? Am I seeking to follow Jesus with a lifestyle of repentance, being as that is what he calls me to? Or am I using him for something else? To get me something? Because Jesus also gives an exhortation, or some could call it a warning, that what is taking place in the heart of a person, inside their heart, will be brought out, will be brought to light, will be made evident, will be made, as the wording here in this passage says, will be made manifest. Because God ultimately knows what is in our hearts, and will react in kind, as we'll see in a moment. There's some other passages of Scripture that elaborate on this. King Solomon, the great King Solomon, in his journal, which is known as the Book of Ecclesiastes, says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And in Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the Gentiles, writes this, people who are not Jewish, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts while their conscience also bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And just one more for good measure, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Again, the words of Paul. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Which brings us now to our third point. Those who take care how they hear, listen blessedly. I was trying so hard to figure out a word to stick there that would flow. I thought, well, blessedly, that's not a word. And I looked it up. I'm like, it is a word. So listen blessedly, a person who receives blessings. Verse 18. Take care then how you hear. That line is the climax, if you will, of the message this morning. The climax of the passage this morning. The main point of my whole message. If you forget anything this morning, remember this line. Take care then how you hear. As we saw earlier, we are called to be lights to other people. Therefore, in order to be those who hear outwardly, we need to take care how we hear. We are called to be genuine, to examine ourselves in our following of Christ, in our hearing of Christ, and warn that what is in our hearts will be made evident, will be made known. So if we're going to be a person who does that and hears inwardly, we therefore need to take care how we hear. And the grammar that Jesus utilizes here, take care then how you hear, is what is called a present imperative. In other words, we are reminded that this act of taking care how we hear should be our action continually 24/7. We should constantly be taking care how we hear, what we hear, who or what we listen to that might possibly drown out listening to Jesus. And there's a lot out there that can drown out our listening to Jesus. Continue on in verse 18. And Jesus says this, "For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." First glance, this can seem a little confusing, and there's still a lot of different thoughts out there and exactly what Jesus is talking about. I've seen commentators all over the place on this. But if you are taking care how you listen and how you respond carefully to the truth, you hold fast to it, as we're told in the parable of the seed. The good soil holds fast to the word of God. And by doing so, bears fruit. And you spread that truth around like a light shining in the darkness. And guess what? The person who seeks to do this, more will be given to you. More of what? Stuff? Luxury? A car? You know, no. More understanding of the truth will be given to you. More contentment in that truth will be given to you. More satisfaction in the unchanging truths of God, the unchanging truths of Scripture, despite the changing world around me, will be given to me. More satisfaction in that truth, more satisfaction in God, for this is the truth of God, will be given to me, will be given to you. And more peace will be given to us. I'm seeing a promise of blessing here. Hence my point. Those who take care how they listen, listen blessedly. And when you take care in seeking to be obedient to the Word of God, you will become naturally more sensitive to it, more desirous to spend time in it, more passionate about it, in confronting things that come into your life, decisions you need to make, things you listen to, things you watch. You will become more sensitive to what does the Word of God say about this. And I don't think I have to try to convince you too much that you will get blessing from that. And I think that builds and builds and builds the more we exercise that obedience. But, be forewarned that Jesus' promise of blessing also comes with a word of warning. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has. Notice the person who does not have thinks he has something. What he thinks that he has will be taken away. Remember, like I said, during Jesus' ministry at this time, the crowds are growing. They're growing. They are growing. Jesus is on the move. His ministry is becoming known. People are hearing about the healings. And they're thinking, is this the Christ, the Messiah? Is he the one that's going to kick out the Romans? Is he going to bring back the glories of this kingdom as it once was? Others just want to see a miracle happen. Whatever the case, the spectrum of people are all following Jesus for different reasons. But in many ways, they're united in the fact that they think Jesus has something for them. But in fact, many of them are false disciples. And a false disciple, in the end, loses everything. Again, I see here a connection back to the sower parable. Remember, back in verse 12 of chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, parable of the seed, Jesus says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, snatches the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. What of those who don't believe? What of those who appear to hear the word but don't actually believe it? The devil snatches it from them. As a result, they neither believe or are saved. There are a lot of people who think they have this word, but don't. And the day is going to come when they realize I've lost what I thought I had. But for those of us here in this room, I think there's a word for us too. Remember I said just a moment ago, you walk in obedience to the Word of God, and you become more sensitive to it, more passionate about it, and blessing comes your way. But when you hear the Word of God and you walk away and are indifferent to it, which is actually hostility to it, you walk more and more in that path of disobedience, you'll become more insensitive to the Word of God. And I'm seeing people all over the place who claim to have a knowledge of the Word of God, who claim to have a relationship with Christ, and I can tell you are just desensitized to the Word of God. Hey, this person who is not a fellow believer, that's all right. They're a nice person. I'll date them and I'll see where this goes. That's being insensitive to the Word of God. I see people all over the place caring more for the education of my kids than their spiritual conditioning. Yes, that's important. I'll throw more into that. That's becoming more and more desensitized to the Word of God. And that could go on and on and on. You're not going to stay neutral if you're not walking in that path of obedience. Great analogy is the gym. COVID-19 has not been good on Matt Urey's body. That doesn't mean I got COVID-19. It means the gyms were closed and I didn't go to the gym. Prior to the pandemic, I was losing weight. I was gaining muscle. You know, and I wanted to like really work hard so that, you know, when I turned 40, you know, I was like right on that path to you know, just gaining strength, you know, gaining that health, you know, 40 and fabulous. Anyway, you didn't hear me say that. And then Christmas rolled around. And of course, you know, you get the usual, you know, gain a little weight. So, you know, worked on that. But then came COVID. The gyms were shut down. And sure, I could work out at home. But, you know, you get home from work, you have three crazy kids, and the last thing you want to do after a day of work and three energetic kids is work out. Some of you might be of a different, but that's me. And let's just say my body was not neutral to this lack of discipline. My body was not neutral to the fact that Darcy and I thought, hey, we'll support the local restaurants around us and not go to the gym. My body wasn't neutral to that. And let's just say some things were taken away, muscle mass, and let's just say some things were added. And yes, I know Scripture tells us our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, so I thought maybe I'd add a few extra rooms to that temple. But COVID wasn't great on my body, and now I'm kind of rethinking. I'm still in the thinking mode of how I'm going to go to the gym with a mask on, which doesn't exactly excite me. But for those of you who have gone to the gym, you'll know that the more you discipline yourself to do it, the more you want to do it. Your body reacts in kind. But if you don't do it, and you don't temper that with better eating habits, your body will react in kind. It's not going to stay neutral. So when it comes to the Word of God and obedience to it, like the gym, the more you sit out to engage in it, the more you desire it, the more you're sensitive to it, the more benefit comes your way, the more peace comes your way. But like the gym, the more you stay away from it, the desire goes down, the sensitivity goes down, and let's just say you're probably, and I see this, struggling probably with some peace right now. When it comes to walking in obedience, you're either moving forward, gaining more insight, or you're moving backward. There is no middle ground, beloved. And so now we move on to verse 19. Those who take care how they hear, listen obediently. We've looked at listening outwardly, shining as lights to others. We're taking a look at listening inwardly, authentically, genuinely examining ourselves. We've looked at listening blessedly with the hope of peace and satisfaction that comes with the discipline of obedience. And now, obedience. Let's come to verse 19. Then his mother, that's Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. These crowds are all over the place. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now the scene has shifted now to a different scenario. Jesus is no longer standing by the Sea of Galilee with the crowds gathered around him. Jesus is now inside a building. The crowds are gathered in the building, are spilling outside the building. And I wasn't going to comment on this, but I think it's good to do this from time to time. But the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark also give this account. But if you read it, they actually give this account before the parable of the sower. Does the Bible have errors? Let me explain. Now, being one who holds steadfast to the inerrancy of Scripture, as I do, as Thomas, as the church does, as a whole, all of you do, you know what my answer is going to be. But you have to understand, the writers of this time, the ancient Near East, did not always list events chronologically. That was perfectly acceptable. Sometimes they would do so by themes. So if they did so by themes, they might have different events taking place at different times and different accountings. One example of this might be the account of Jesus cleansing the temple. If you read the Gospels, you'll see the account of Jesus coming in and cleansing the temple taking place at the last week of his life. If you read John's account of it, it takes place right at the beginning. Now, it may very well be that Jesus cleansed the temple twice. That's very possible. Jesus may have cleansed the temple several times in ways that just weren't recorded. But John also often writes things thematically. And right after, remember, he opens up with his book saying, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now he's talking about how he's the true temple, and there's that theme of Jesus cleansing the temple. So all that to say, here, Luke puts this here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit because it meshes well with his theme of properly hearing the Word of God. And to the audience of this day, that was perfectly acceptable. Just so you know, if you ever wonder, hey, wait a second, this gospel has us here, that gospel has it here, what's up with that? It's good to understand these things once in a while. And in this situation here, it's all about hearing with obedience. Verse 21, Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, I remember when I was younger, I would come to this passage and be like, man, Jesus seems kind of harsh here. And people are like, hey, Jesus, you know, your mom and your brothers are outside. And Jesus is like, well, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So they could just go, you know where. Is Jesus rejecting Mary and his bros here? Well, so let's just establish some things. First of all, yes, Jesus had brothers, other brothers. Contrary to what our Roman Catholic friends believe, Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She had kids later on. And these, of course, would have been Jesus' half-brothers because Joseph was their biological father. And we also know he had some sisters, too. And these younger brothers of Jesus, we know the names of four, James, Joseph, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but also known as Jude, and Simon. Now, why are Jesus' mother and brothers so desirous to see Jesus? Are they just showing up and saying, hey, we want to say hi to Jesus, you know, hey. I don't know, maybe. But if you look at Mark's account of this story in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 3, earlier on in that same chapter, we see this taking place. A kind of an interesting account. Then he went, and we read this in Mark chapter 3, verse 20, and this talking about Jesus. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. This probably isn't the most positive painting of Jesus' family. And we don't know if that case was just Jesus' brothers or if it was Mary too, but it doesn't say who all was there. All that to know, also Mary was a godly woman, but it doesn't mean she was completely without sin. It doesn't mean from time to time maybe she didn't quite understand fully Jesus' mission. And Jesus' brothers were told did not believe in him yet, but later on after the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus' brothers do come to believe in him. And in fact, his brother James will write the book of James, and he'll be the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. His brother Jude will write the book of Jude. Now, as to why in here they think Jesus is out of his mind, we don't know. They're probably not believing, at least the brothers are not believing in him quite yet, that he's their savior. Maybe they are concerned about Jesus' welfare, the massive crowds that are following Jesus. They're fearful for his life and like, Jesus, you're crazy! Let's pull you back and take you home here. And maybe they're trying to do that a few times. But Jesus' family will have to come to a place where they understand that Jesus is not ultimately just their brother, but he is their savior. He's not their older bro that they're going to have to pull out from different things because he's a little out there. But they're going to have to come to a place where we're ultimately connected with him, not by blood, but by obedience. And they will come to that place because God uses them to write scripture. And I'm sure this was all difficult for Mary. Even as a godly woman as she was, I'm sure it was still difficult for her to wrestle with this being both my child and my Savior. I mean, no one else has been in that position. Jesus is not indifferent to his family. Again, he'll be the redeemer of his brothers. We see later on he does show great care for Mary, even when he's on the cross. But this occasion where Jesus is told, hey, your mom and your bros are standing outside for you, this gives Jesus an opportunity to teach a central truth. My mother and my brothers, in other words, my true family, is connected to me not by blood, but there are those who hear the word of God and do it. He's not indifferent to his family, but one's connection to Jesus, one's relationship with Jesus is not based on blood, ethnic heritage, etc. And our ultimate unity in this church is not by those things either. By being connected to Jesus, we are connected to Jesus in that we have recognize him as our Savior. Recognize our sin and our need for a Savior. Repenting of our sins. And I think Jesus is giving a nod here to the fact that his own biological family will need to recognize him as their Savior. And of course, those who are in relationship to him are ultimately those who hear the Word of God and do it. I love how later on, James, Jesus' half-brother, who might have been here in this passage, comes to a place of that recognition. And he writes this. This is James, Jesus' half-brother, in James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word. That's what his brother talks about. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jesus says the following in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, 31 through 33. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There will be that blessing there. And then another place in John, John chapter 14, verse 15, also verse 21. If you love me, you will keep, out of love for me, my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I think everybody in this room, you're all sensible people. I think the commands here are pretty straightforward without me having to elaborate too much. All that to say that receiving Christ is not just some thing we check off the list to go to heaven. I've got my divine insurance, my divine fire insurance plan. I'm good to go to heaven. But we are called to a life of obedience, a life of repentance. Yes, we're still sinners. We're going to struggle with that. But when that happens, we have such sorrow over what has happened because we are sensitive to the Word of God, sensitive to our love for Jesus Christ who died for us. And so the picture of such people in this passage are clear. Those who take care how they hear the Word of God, listen outwardly, listen inwardly. Listen blessedly. Listen obediently. If you come to God's word in this manner, you will have contentment. You will have peace. You will be blessed. There are riches for us who listen carefully to how God speaks. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's not just sentences on paper, but it is living and it is active, sharper than a double-edged sword, exposing our hearts. Father, I just pray that wherever we are, that you would help us recognize the need constantly, 24/7, to take care how we hear. That we would listen outwardly. That would seek, Lord, to let others know about the hope that we have in you. That we would listen inwardly, authentically, genuinely. Examining our hearts constantly in light of your word. Growing sensitive to it. That we would listen blessedly. And that we would gain true peace from it. And that, of course, we would listen obediently. That we would guard your commandments as something precious. And Lord, that when we fall, we'd be quick to run to you. Lord, we confess that we are by nature without you, sinful and unclean. But because of what Christ did for us, Lord, you don't look to us, but you look at Christ. And may we walk worthy of that, Lord, as your sons and your daughters, as your people. And we ask this in the matchless name of our Savior, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen.